Most of you know who this is, but it is a joy and a privilege to have my youngest son, Joseph, bring the message for us today. And I'm not going to take up any more of his time because I know he has a lot to present. So, Joseph, turn it over to you. Thank you.
Ready. So, probably hear some voice cracks at some point. It is a little nerve-wracking being up here in front of all of you all, even though there's no reason to be. But just wanted to say good morning, everyone, and I am thankful for the turnout and that you're all able to make it here this morning, and pray that you're all thankful this morning as well. And I'm sure you can decipher what today's lesson is going to be about. Giving thanks, Thanksgiving, that's the week. But we can jump right into the week. Giving thanks as we are to do always in all things to God. And the scripture to focus this morning is Ephesians 5:20. But we're going to read Ephesians 5:17 through 21 to begin. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Let's pray. Dear God, we just wanted to thank you for this day and thank you that we can come together again and worship you freely. And we thank you for friends and family and just getting to see each other again. And we pray that you enlighten our hearts and minds and that we will soak up as much as you have to offer us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So, I do want to start with a little bit of trivia. Does anybody know how many times thanks, thanksgiving, or thankful is referenced in the Bible in the King James Version? Any guesses? 300? Okay, that's fair. It's actually 103 in the King James Version. So, thanks is mentioned 67 times. Thanksgiving is mentioned 31 times, and thankful is mentioned 5 times. Now, in the Greek version, does anybody want to take a guess there? It's a little bit closer to Colton's guess. It's mentioned
245.
Very close, actually. It's 229. The word gratitude itself is mentioned 157 times. The word thanks or thanksgiving is mentioned 72 times. So as we can see through the Bible, Thanksgiving is year-round. It's not just one day. The Bible gives us both good and bad examples for thankfulness, as well as instructions for being thankful. And you'd think something as simple as giving thanks shouldn't need instructions, but it's more important than that. So we can start with the examples first. So people may have one of three possible attitudes about Thanksgiving. And our first attitude is the superfluous Thanksgiving, or the unnecessary Thanksgiving. And some people are not thankful just because they think they deserve more than they have, and that everything that they have and more is on themselves. And a good bad example here is the rich farmer that Jesus spoke of in his parable in Luke 12:16-21. You can go ahead and turn with me there. You may have heard this parable many times, but we hear it more often referring to our possessions rather than our thankfulness. So starting in verse 16, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I'll do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. This rich farmer was ungrateful for his past prosperity as well. And as he looked around and realized his land was so productive that he did not have enough room to store all his crops, he decided to build bigger and better barns. He did not take God into consideration for all that he had. Because he gave God no credit for his blessings, he saw no reason to give him thanks. And because of his superfluous attitude, God called him a fool for not being thankful to the God who made it all possible. Within that judgment lay the truth that the farmer could no more protect his possessions by his own power than he had produced them by his own power. The Lord gave, and the Lord took away. Not feeling the need to thank God is worse than just ingratitude. It is actually just unbelief. And this attitude is a form of practical atheism that just fails to acknowledge God for all that he does for us. Now the second attitude is the sanctimonious thanksgiving, or the hypocrite. Now this good-bad example, as I'll call it, we'll be looking at Luke 18, 9 through 14, if you want to go ahead and turn there as well. And now this is of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and these both careermen, but we'll jump right in on verse 9. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Like the rest of his life, the Pharisee, this was all just a prayer of thanksgiving, absolute sham and pretense. It was hypocritical. But the tax collector went home feeling justified in the Lord, whereas the Pharisee did not. We don't want to be like the Pharisee and continually thank God that we are not like this person or that person, or even praise ourselves for what we've done. And now the third attitude here is the sincere thanksgiving, or the genuine thanksgiving. And this is our good example, as I'll call it. And this is another good Samaritan parable, but of a Samaritan leper being thankful of Jesus in Luke 17, 11 through 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed on his way to Jerusalem, only one returned to thank him. But his thankfulness was genuine, and Jesus said to him, Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. The other 9 lepers sought Jesus' healing, but only for their own benefit. The Samaritan sought it also for God's glory. His thankfulness was an expression of his trust in Jesus, his recognition that he was helpless in himself, and that his healing was undeserved and entirely by the Lord's grace. As a result, he received salvation. That is the only thankfulness that pleases God and that the Spirit-filled saint will offer. And now we're going to move on to the attributes of thankfulness. Now going back to our scripture of focus, in Ephesians 5:20, Paul tells us the instructions for thankfulness. And this is the when, for what, to whom, and finally how we should be thankful. Now we can start off with the when to be thankful. And that is always. To be thankful always is to recognize God's control of our lives in every detail as he seeks to conform us to the image of his Son. To be thankless is to disregard God's control, Christ's lordship, and the Holy Spirit's filling. Nothing must grieve the Holy Spirit so much as the believer who does not give thanks. And when God brings trials and difficulties into our lives and we complain and grumble, we question his wisdom and love as well as his sovereignty. Just as there are 3 attitudes towards thanksgiving, there are also 3 levels of thankfulness. And as a side note, does anybody remember the significance of the number 3 in the Bible? It's one of the main numbers of significance.
Number of perfection?
That is right, perfection. Just a little bit of trivia in there for you. So the first level of thankfulness is for blessings. So when things are going well or God grants an especially welcome benefit, we're always happy and grateful, and we're quick to give thanks. When getting a job, when being delivered from sickness, being reconciled with our spouse, or experiencing other certain pleasant things, it's easy to be grateful to the Lord. And you can go ahead and start turning to Revelation 15. It's right to be thankful for blessings, as the Bible continually commands us to be. The song that Moses and the children of Israel sang before or while being delivered from Egypt in Exodus 15:1-21 was a beautiful and genuine expression of gratitude that pleased the Lord. That song will one day be partly repeated in heaven as a testimony of thanksgiving to Jesus Christ for delivering his people from the beast. Now in Revelation 15, starting with verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. For us now, thankfulness for blessings is easy and requires little maturity. Nevertheless, attention upon the benefits causes them to stand out more clearly, and that results in increased thanksgiving. While at last worries disappear, complaints vanish, courage to face the future increases, peace is experienced, and God is glorified. And now the second level of thanksgiving is that of being grateful for the hope of blessing and victory yet to come. The first level is after the fact, but this level is in anticipation of the fact. Thanking God before a blessing is more difficult than thanking Him afterwards and requires more faith and spiritual maturity. The second level is where faith and hope begin because it involves the unseen and the unexperienced. In John chapter 11, at the time of Lazarus' resurrection, Jesus stood over the tomb of Lazarus and prayed. Starting in verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Because Jesus knew that his heavenly Father has always heard and answered his prayers, in total confidence he thanked him in advance for what he knew would be done. The believer at this level of thankfulness looks forward to victory before it is achieved. Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And we can keep that through him in mind because it is going to come into play not too far from now. You can go ahead and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now as Judah was about to be attacked by the more powerful Moabites and Ammonites, King Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast and prayed before all the people, earnestly proclaiming the Lord's power and goodness. He acknowledged Judah's weakness and their sure defeat if the Lord did not help them. He pleaded, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Starting with verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of his holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Judah thanked God for victory before any battle had ever begun. Judah had full confidence in their faith in God, and that is a difficult example for us to follow today. And now the third level of thankfulness is during trials and tribulations. While we are still undergoing trouble or testing, and even when it looks like we're failing or being overwhelmed, when Daniel heard that King Darius had signed the decree forbidding the worship of any god or man besides the king himself, Daniel immediately went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Though his life was at risk, Daniel thanked God because God deserved his thanks regardless of his threatening circumstances. Even the prejudiced and disobedient Jonah ended his prayer from the stomach of the fish with these words, "But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Nowhere in the prayer does Jonah ask for deliverance from that fish. Instead, he praises God for past deliverances, acknowledges his own sinfulness and unfaithfulness, and closes with a declaration of thanks for the Lord's goodness. After Peter and some of the other apostles in Jerusalem had been flogged and ordered not to speak again in the name of Jesus, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You can start turning to Philippians 1. In his prison cell, probably in Rome, Paul awaited trial and possible execution. While there, he wrote his letter to the Philippian church, in which he gave thanks for their faithfulness and for the work God was continuing to do in them. Starting with verse 3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." If we can only thank God when things are going well, our thankfulness is on that very bottom rung of thankfulness, just the surface level of blessings. If we can thank him in anticipation of things that are to come, things that he will do in the future, then we show more spiritual maturity. But to thank God while we are in the midst of pain, trials, or persecution shows a level of maturity that few Christians seem to know, but that our Heavenly Father wants of every single one of us. It is a striking thing for a person to always be thankful. Matthew Henry, the famous scholar, was once robbed of his wallet, and he actually wrote about it in his diary. He said, "I thank thee first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, and not I who robbed." And as Joni Erickson Tada, a quadriplegic author, sorry, a bunch of tangled words there, has observed, giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful, it is a matter of obedience. And now we can move on to for what to be thankful, and that is everything. So we'll go through it again. When are we to be thankful? Always. Always. For what are we to give thanks? All things or everything. The greatest gift that we can give to God is a thankful heart, because all we can give to him is simply grateful recognition that all we have is from him, and everything that has been done is done through him. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18, it states, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." The spiritual believer sees God's wise and loving care in the difficulties and trials, as well as in blessing and prosperity. We are to thank God for health, even if it is far from being what we would like it to be. We are to thank God even when our dearest loved ones die, saying with Job, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The ultimate goal is the glory of God. The means of giving him glory is thanksgiving. And the reasons for thanksgiving are all the things he has done in the believer's life. To glorify God is to thank him, no matter how much we may hurt or be disappointed or fail to understand. As God's children, we're to be thankful first for all the Lord Himself, for His goodness, the love, grace, salvation, and every other blessing that He gives us. We're to be thankful for blessings and difficulties, for victories and defeats. The only person who can genuinely give thanks for all things is the humble person, the person who knows that they deserve nothing and who therefore gives thanks even for the smallest things. Lack of thankfulness comes from pride, from the conviction that we deserve something better than we have, such as the Pharisee. Pride tries to convince us that our job, our health, our spouse, and most of what we have is not as good as we deserve, that we always deserve more. Pride was the root of the first sin and remains the root of all sin. Satan's pride led him to rebel against God and try to usurp God's throne. The pride of Adam and Eve led them to believe Satan's lie that they deserved more than they had and that they had the right to be like God. Believers are still subject to the temptations of pride, and the only cure for that is humility, which comes with being filled with the Spirit, since being filled with the Spirit is to die to self. When we cease with selfishness, the consequence is to put Christ and His will above all else. Humility dethrones self and enthrones Christ, and in doing that, it thankfully acknowledges that every good thing, including many things that do not at the time seem to be good, are from His gracious hand. Now, a short story here. There was a city missionary in London who was called to an old tenement building where a woman lay dying in the last stages of a terrible disease. The room was cold and she had nowhere to lie but on the floor. When the missionary asked if there was anything he could do, she replied, "I have all I really need. I have Jesus Christ." Deeply moved, the missionary went home and penned these words. In the heart of London City, amid the dwellings of the poor, these bright and golden words were uttered, "I have Christ, what want I more?" Spoken by a lonely woman dying on a garret floor, having not one earthly comfort, "I have Christ, what want I more?" And the meaning of garret there, if you don't know, is attic. So she was lying, dying on a cold, barren attic floor. And she still thanked God that she had Christ. And now we can move on to whom to be thankful. And that is God. So we can recap again. When are we to be thankful? Always. For what are we to be thankful? Things, everything. And to whom are we to be thankful? God. The thanks that we give always for all things are given to God the Father. We thank our Heavenly Father just as our Lord Himself did on earth. The giver of every good gift and every perfect gift is the receiver of every genuine and heartfelt thanksgiving. The beneficent Father is to be thanked for all things because He has given all things, and all things are possible through Him. Even those things that come through others come from God. We should be grateful for what anyone does for us, and we should thank them for it. But thankfulness to others will likely be more than flattery, pat on the shoulder, if we do not acknowledge that the true source of it is God. So now in Romans 1, 18 through 23, we'll start off on verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." A mark of the unthankful person is the unsaved person. And the mark of an unsaved person is thanklessness to God. But a mark of the Spirit-filled believer is always giving thanks to God for all things. Now you can turn to Philippians 4, if you would like. This is just a quick reference here. But in Philippians 4, 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And believers are to be abounding with thanksgiving and continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. The word gratitude comes from the same root word as grace. And if we have experienced the grace of God, then we ought to be more thankful and grateful for what God gives to us. Dr. Alexander White of Edinburgh was famous for his pulpit prayers. He always found something to thank God for, even in bad times. One stormy morning, a member of his congregation thought to himself, "That preacher, he'll have nothing to thank God for on a wretched morning like this." But then White began his prayer. "We thank Thee, O God, that it is not always like this." Now, whenever you look up Dr. Alexander White, you find that he was 85 years old in 1920. And today, that's more or less as if he were to have lived to 100 years old. And to live that old and still be giving thanks in everything, finding something to be thankful for, even on rainy days, dark days, that is a true example. And now we can move on to how to be thankful. And I'm sure you know what's coming here. We're going to do a recap again. This is, when are we to be thankful? Always. For what are we to give thanks? Everything. To whom are we to be thankful? To God. And how are we to be thankful?
Through Jesus
Christ, in Christ's name. To give thanks in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is to give thanks consistent with who He is and what He has done. We can give thanks always and for all things because no matter what happens to us, it will turn out not only for our ultimate blessing, but more importantly, for His ultimate glory. Putting everything that we have seen up to this point together is this last statement. We are not to thank God for things that He despises. When a drunk driver kills another person, we praise God for His presence in the midst of such terrible events and for His redeeming purpose, which can bring out light in darkness. And everything that occurs has been enabled through Christ. Were it not for Christ, it would be foolish to be thankful for everything, because apart from all things that do not turn out for good. For Christ, for those in Christ, the good things and the things that we think are bad all have a part in God's conforming us to this image of His Son. Just as grace and gratitude have the same root word, pardon my accent here, but thank and thank come from the same root word. If we would thank more, then we should certainly thank more. A person who is not a Christian does not have Christ interceding on their behalf at the right hand of God or indwelling their life. They do not have the promise of heirship in God's family or any of the other wonderful blessings of Christ. They do not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and cannot have His filling. They cannot be thankful for everything because everything they do, they do not have a reason to give thanks. They see only the present, not eternal glory. The mature Christian, the Christian who is filled with the Spirit, becomes thankful as Christ Himself was thankful. Jesus was continually giving thanks to His Father. Before He multiplied the loaves and fish to feed the 4,000, He gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to His disciples to set before them. As mentioned earlier, He gave thanks because before He called Lazarus from the grave. Even as He instituted the Lord's Supper in anticipation of His soon coming crucifixion, He thanked His Father for the bread that would become a memorial of His sacrificed body. Now we're going to go back to Philippians chapter 2 for this final passage. Now Jesus was ridiculed, despised, scorned, rejected, spat upon, blasphemed, beaten, and finally crucified. Yet because of His great humility, He always gave thanks in all things. He deserved glory, but received humiliation, deserved love, but received hate, and deserved honor, but received dishonor. He deserved praise, but received scorn, deserved riches, but received poverty, and deserved holiness, but was made sin on our behalf. Yet He never lost His thankfulness to His Heavenly Father. Starting in verse 5, Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and becoming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We deserve humiliation, but in Christ we receive glory. We deserve to be hated, but instead are loved. We deserve dishonor, but receive honor. We deserve scorn, but are given praise. Deserve poverty, but are given riches. And deserve sin's curse of death, but are given righteousness and eternal life. For what can we not give thanks? I want to leave you with a final story here. After World War II, Winston Churchill paid a great tribute to the young men in the Royal Air Force who guarded England during the war, saying, "Never in the history of mankind have so many owed so much to so few." The Battle of Bastogne represents one of the bloodiest actions in World War II. A monument there pays tribute to the heroism of the U.S. 101st Airborne Division. Seldom has so much American blood been shed in the course of a single action. Oh, Lord, help us to remember. But when thinking of the cross of Christ, we can say, never in the history of the universe has mankind owed so much to one. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you again for today, and thank you that you give us so much to be thankful for in this world. And we pray that as we go throughout the week, we remember all there is to be thankful and all that you do for us. And we pray that you guide us to greater spiritual maturity, and that we can praise you and thank you not only for blessings or blessings to come, but also during trials and tribulations that you, we know you will get us through. We pray that you will watch over us all as we leave this place, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.